but he was very desirous to see him again, for it had not been until the Aurora's quarterly return was published in early January that he had realized that he had been cheated. The fortune he had found in Anna's dresses had not been banked against the Aurora as he had intended it to be, and Arqui was certain that Mr. Staines was responsible for this error. By the time he figured this out, however, Mr. Staines had disappeared. As to where he might have disappeared to, Arqui had no idea. Ah Suk turned back to Mannering and said for the second time,
"He not know."
"Did you hear that, Dick?"
said Charlie Frost from the corner.
"He doesn't know."
Mannering ignored him. He kept his revolver levelled at Ah Suk's face and said,
"You tell him that unless he plays fair with me, I'm going to kill you."
He twitched the gun to emphasize his point.
"You tell him that. Either Johnny Quee talks, or Johnny Suk dies. Tell him that. Tell him now."
Ah Suk dutifully relayed this threat to Ah Quee, who made no answer. There was a pause, in which every man seemed to be expecting one of the others to speak. And then suddenly Mannering made a lightning motion with his right hand, knocked Ah Quee forward, grabbed a fistful of his pigtail, and jerked his head violently back. His pistol was still pointed at Ah Suk. Ah Quee did not make a sound, but his eyes filled instantly with tears.
"Nobody misses a Chinaman," Mannering said to Ah Suk. "In Hokitika, least of all. How would your friend here explain it to the commissioner, I wonder? Unlucky, he'd say. Suk die, valley unlucky. And what would the commissioner say?"
Mannering gave a vicious wrench to Arqui's pigtail.
"He'd say, Johnny Suk? He's the hatter with the smoke, is he not? Laid out most afternoons with the dragon in his eye, selling poison tar to chinks and useless whores. He's dead? Well then, why in heaven would you assume I care?"
This venom was unprecedented, as Mannering and Ah Suk had always been on equable terms. But if Ah Suk was angry or insulted, he did not show it. He gazed back at Mannering with a glassy expression, and did not blink or break his gaze. Ah Quee, whose neck was still bent backwards so that the muscles of his throat showed against his skin, was likewise still.
"Not poison,"
Ah Suk said after a moment.
"I not poison Anna."
"I'll tell you this," Mannering said. "You poison Anna every day."
"Dick," Frost said desperately, "this is hardly on point."
"On point?"
Mannering shouted. He aimed his revolver about a foot away from Ah Suk's head and fired. There was a clap. Ah Suk cried out in shock and flung up his arm, and then a pattering noise as the powdered rubble ran away from the hole.
"Here's on point," Mannering shouted. "Anna Wetherill is laid out flat at this man's filthy joint."
He pointed the revolver at Ah Suk.
6 days out of 7. This man,"
he gave Ah Quee's scalp a furious wrench,
"calls Staines a thief. He apparently uncovered some secret that has something to do with gold and something to do with a bonanza. I know for a fact that Anna Wetherill was with Emery Staines the night he disappeared, which was also the night, by the way, that a bonanza showed up in a very peculiar location and Anna lost her bloody mind. Damn it, Charlie, don't tell me to talk on point."
In the next moment, all four men spoke at once. Ah Quee said,
"Li go si hang o hiu."
Frost said,
"If you're so sure about the Aurora."
Ah Suk said,
"Ngo mo zao cho te."
Mannering said,
"Somebody gave that gold to Crosby Wells."
And then from behind Charlie Frost came another voice.
"What in all heaven is going on?"
It was the commission merchant Harold Nielsen. He ducked under the low lintel of the hut and looked around him astonished. The collie dog leapt upon him, sniffing at the hem of his jacket and his cuffs. Nielsen reached down and caught her behind the ears.
"What is going on?" he repeated. "For heaven's sake, Dick, I could hear your voice from 50 paces. The Celestials are all staring out of the windows."
Mannering tightened his grip on Arquee's pigtail.
"Harold Nielsen," he cried, "witness to the prosecution. You're just the man to lend a hand."
"Quiet down," Nielsen said, lowering Holly to the floor and placing his hand upon her head to calm her.
"Quiet! You'll bring in the sergeant in another moment. What are you doing?
You went to Crosby's cottage,
Mannering continued without lowering his voice.
You saw that the gold had been retorted, did you not? This yellow devil's playing us for fools.
Yes,
Nielsen said. Somewhat absurdly, he was attempting to brush the rain from his coat.
I saw that the gold had been retorted. That, in fact, is the reason why I'm here. But you might have asked me quietly. You've an audience, you know.
See, Mannering was saying to Arqui. Here's another man come to make you talk. Here's another man to hold a pistol to your head.
Excuse me, Nielsen said. I did not come to hold a pistol to anybody's head. And I wouldn't mind asking again what it is that you were doing. It looks ugly, whatever it is.
He won't hear any kind of reason, said Frost, who was anxious not to be implicated in this ugliness.
Let a man speak for himself, Nielsen snapped.
What's going on? We shall omit Mannering's answer to this question, which was both inaccurate and inflammatory. We shall omit also the ensuing discussion, during which Mannering and Nielsen discovered that their purpose in journeying to Chinatown was one and the same, and Frost, who could intuit quite plainly that the commission merchant was holding him in some suspicion over the sale of the Wells estate, maintained a rather sullen silence. The clarifications took some time, and it was nearly 10 minutes later that the conversation turned at last to the goldsmith Arqui, who was still being held by the nape of his neck in a posture of much discomfort and indignity. Mannering suggested that his pigtail be cut off altogether, in order to impress upon the man the urgency of the matter at hand. He tugged at Arqui's head as he said it, taking evident pleasure in the motion, as if weighing a spoil. Nielsen's code of ethics did not permit humiliation, however, just as his code of aesthetics did not permit ugliness. Again he made his disapproval known, prompting a quarrel with Mannering that delayed Arqui's release still further, and excited Holly to the point of riotous and irrepressible joy. Finally, Charlie Frost, who had been hitherto very successfully ignored, suggested that perhaps the Chinese men had simply not understood Mannering's line of questioning. He proposed instead that the questions be put to Ah Sook again, and this time in writing. That way, he said, they could be sure that nothing had been lost in the act of translation. Nielsen saw the sense in this idea and approved of it. Mannering was disappointed, but he was in the minority, and presently he was forced to agree. He released Arqui, returned his revolver to its holster, and retrieved his pocketbook from his vest in order to compose a question in Chinese script. Mannering's pocketbook was an artifact of